Proverbs, just remain seated. Proverbs chapter 8, verse 22. Proverbs 8, 22. Our text is 22 through 32. And so as we read this, just follow along and I'll read our text, 22 through 32. The Bible says, "The Lord possessed me in the beginning of his way before his works of old." Now, in case you're wondering who is talking about here, look at verse 1. "Doth not wisdom cry and understanding put forth her voice?" So this is the cry of wisdom. Verse 12, "I, wisdom, dwell with prudence." So this is who's speaking. Now verse 22. Wisdom says, "The Lord possessed me in the beginning of his way, before his works of old. I was set up from everlasting, from the beginning, or ever the earth was. When there were no depths, I was brought forth. When there were no fountains abounding with water, before the mountains were settled, before the hills was I brought forth. While as yet he had not made the earth, nor the fields, nor the highest part of the dust of the world, when he prepared the heavens, I was there. When he set a compass upon the face of the depth." Note verse 27. Interesting, it says compass, which means circle, and this would have been written a long time before mankind had confirmed that the earth was round. God said it a long time before we figured it out, if we would have just understood what God was saying right there. Compass. That's not in my sermon, so it's extra. When he set a compass upon the face of the depth. Verse 28. "When he established the clouds above, and when he strengthened the fountains of the deep, when he gave to the sea his decree that the water should not pass his commandment, when he appointed the foundations of the earth, then I was by him as one brought up with him, and I was daily his delight, rejoicing always before him, rejoicing in the habitable part of his earth, and my delights were with the sons of men. Now, therefore, hearken unto me, O ye children, for blessed are they that keep my ways." Tonight, the title of our message is, it's kind of a long, I'd had more time, I maybe could have shortened it, but here's the title: "Things Turn Out Well When You Know What You're Doing." Can I say it again in case that went by you? Things turn out well when you know what you're doing. So let's pray. Father, I pray your blessings on the message. Help us to get out of this what you need us or want us to see, so that we might learn to rely more on you. And we'll give you glory for what you do, what you've already done. Thank you for the sweet blessings we've heard tonight. I pray your blessings on each and every one of your people, those going through difficult situations and trials. I pray your encouraging touch tonight. And I just pray for your church as we prepare for revival, especially. Use this message to work in our hearts in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Well, my first point tonight, it's really not related to the sermon. It's kind of an introduction. If you saw my notes, I usually follow a similar format in every sermon that I write. And I always have sort of an opening statement. And they say when you're preaching a sermon, you want to open with a statement that kind of gets everybody's attention. My opening statement is parenting 101. And sometimes parenting, whenever you're parenting your kids, you do things that are really dumb and it turns out okay, but it really didn't have a whole lot to do with how great of a parent you are. You know, that happens to me all the time. And let me give you an example. So I don't know if any of you had your electricity sort of going off and on and then off for a long time yesterday, but we did. And so right in the middle of trying to do all this work, anyway, I just say it was the devil, you know, so we tried to cast him out. But anyway, the electricity was flickering, and so it was making me nervous because it was going off and on and pulsating, and I thought this surging would maybe blow out my fridge and my appliances. And so I went to the breaker box, and I just turned all the breakers off except one breaker that was to the bathroom downstairs, which was where I was working. Even though the electricity was off, I would at least know when the electricity came back on because that light would come on, right? So we go, the electricity never comes on. I have my headlamp and I've got this other, you know, floodlight that Brother Tim let me borrow. And I have more light than if our electricity was on with that thing. But so I'm down there working and all my table saws and everything aren't working. So I'm using this little handheld saw, trying not to cut my fingers off. And so doing good so far and working along and then sort of finish with the day, realizing no lights, no electricity. I'm not getting where I need to go. So just called it a day, somewhere around 9:30, somewhere in there, and no electricity. So clean up. The boys are all downstairs with me now because it's literally the only light in the house. And so we're just laying on the bed saying weird things because that's what boys do. And then making noises and all kinds of crazy stuff because they're teenagers and little kids. But anyway, I kind of got involved too, but anyway, we won't go there. So then we started doing this. We had this flashlight and we started doing like finger animals on the wall. And we ran out of ideas really fast. And so we started making stuff up. And then suddenly, you know, like a water bottle goes, guys, look what I did with my fingers. I made a water bottle. I'm like, okay, yeah. So we crossed the line. We're in the realm of weird right now. But we just laughed and we had a good time. And, you know, it was just great. And Melissa gets home somewhere around 10:30, 11. She went to the grocery store to prepare for our revival. I had to get groceries for things, and she gets home and all the electricity in the whole block is back on except our house. I'm like, something isn't right here, you know? So I go in and I start flipping breakers on and the electricity's on. It's just been off for like 3 hours because I had the breakers off. And you say, well, what about the bathroom? Somebody turned it off earlier in the day. Thank you, Brother Tim. So you did it. Okay. I knew when I didn't know it was you, but okay, well, anyway, that was a pure accident, but it turned into a blessing because we had this fun time with the boys. You know, it ended up being a great parenting moment that happened with the breakers off. Well, can I tell you that that's often how good things happen? You know, when your breakers are tripped and stuff happens and you're praying, you're trying to seek God and you're thinking this is a disaster, but God ends up making something good out of what we're going through and the challenges that we face. God has a way of making it turn out well. That's the miracle of how God works. God uses the tripped breakers to work miracles and blessings. That's how God operates. Well, if you think about it, the wisdom of God works that way. Often we mess up and we kind of go down a path where we're missing the blessings like that because we think we have to make sure everything is right. We have to, in life, make sure all the breakers are on. We have to make sure everything is functioning right, and we won't seek the Lord often about these kinds of things. And God wants to use the tripped breakers to do something great. And we're trying to make everything work by turning all the breakers back on. And it's just not working right if the breakers are off. You know, that's what we say to ourselves. But in the end, we had no electricity for 3 hours. We could have, and I'm glad. I'm glad. That's how God works. That's how the wisdom of God works. We have to embrace it. We have to embrace that God works in ways that you and I don't understand. What to us seems like the right thing with the breakers on, for God, it's the wrong thing. The breaker needs to be off because I want to accomplish something here. And so God's trying to do things and we're trying to undo what God's trying to do, I think sometimes, because we miss how wisdom and the wisdom of God works. Now, wisdom was with God before anything else existed. You say, well, how is that possible? Look what he says. I want you to see this. Now, we're not going to read all of these verses again, but look at verse 22. I want to show you a couple of things. It says, the Lord possessed me, talking about wisdom, in the beginning of his way before his works of old. Now, there's a word here I want you to note. It's the word before. And so when we start talking about how God created in the beginning, it says in verse 22, in the beginning. Verse 23, I was set up from everlasting from the beginning, or ever the earth was. Verse 24, when there were no depths. So in other words, the nothing existed. God hadn't started his creative work. Wisdom was there. Wisdom was on the premises. Wisdom was on the job site before the work began. Before. Now look at verse 25. Before the mountains were settled. Before the hills was I brought forth. So three times in these verses we see that wisdom was there before God started any of his creative work. Now, why is that important? Well, think about it. The word wisdom, we can maybe make an analogy or a parallel to the word skill. And some of you guys are good at what you do. I say some of you. Whatever you do, you're probably good at it. And you have that skill, that gift, that talent, or you've trained it or honed it, and now you have the ability to do this, and you do it well. So I had some rock given to us. It's been a couple of years ago, and it's set under our porch for a couple of years or more, and it's rock that goes on a veneer rock wall on the outside of your house. And I've wanted to do this on the back side as you enter into the missions apartment of our house that we've remodeled for church planters and missionaries, and the pastor is going to stay there for revival in our missions apartment, but we wanted this nice veneer wall, but I don't know how to do it. And so here's the thing about putting rock on a wall that I didn't know how to do. Let me say it like this. I didn't even know where to start. Here was the starting place for me in my mind. YouTube. That was where it all begins. I didn't know anything, but I actually had a better choice than YouTube. I have a friend who knows how to do it. And so I called him up and I said, "Hey, Brother Tim, do you know how to do rock wall?" I kind of already knew that you knew because your house. But anyway, "Brother Tim, do you know how to do rock veneer wall?" "Yeah, I know how to do it." "Well, I'm wondering if maybe you can show me how to do that." And I meant it. But Brother Tim said I'd be happy to. And really, I feel kind of bad because he's the only one doing it now. And but here's the point that I'm making. Before the project started, I needed somebody who knew how this is going to work. I needed somebody who had the skill to make sure that it was going to get done right. That's wisdom. Before the project began, before the creation of the world, wisdom was there, ready to help navigate the process. And this is what God is saying here, that wisdom was there. Consider that before the job ever began, for it to be done right, wisdom has to be there before you even start. Yeah. The next point that's being made here is that wisdom was there through the process of creation. Now look at verse 27. When he prepared the heavens, we're speaking of God in the creative act. Look what it says next. Three words. I was there. So now we've changed gears. I don't know if you noticed in a cursory reading, but up until verse 26, it says wisdom was there before the project started. In these verses, the project now has begun. And wisdom is there to help navigate through the process of doing this project before it starts, and now the job is begun. Verse 30, look at what it says. Then I was by him as one brought up with him. I was daily his delight, rejoicing always before him. And so the creative act is happening. Genesis, if you want to reference Genesis, don't turn there, but these creative acts, Genesis 1, 1 through 5, the first day of creation, God put a compass upon the face of the deep. Verses 6 through 8 of Genesis chapter 1, the second day of creation, God separated the waters, making clouds and oceans, which is referenced here in verse number 28. In verses Genesis 1, 9 through 10, the third day of creation, God made the dry land appear, which is verse 29. and so what we have is wisdom saying, I wasn't just there when the project began, I was there through the process, which was important. Why? Well, let me just give you this example as we continue on with our illustration. Brother Tim showed up before the project began and, you know, helped get the pieces in order And then the work began, and Brother Tim was there, and we got a whole bunch of rock put on there, and he showed me how to do it, which I was blessed. You know, you got to make sure you get it, the mortar on there, and then, you know, there's a particular way. I'm really bad at it, by the way, but and then you stick it on there, you have to get it wet and all this kind of stuff. All of these different things have to happen. And he's showing me how to do it, and I'm like, oh, this is a piece of cake. I got this, is no problem. So the next day, or a couple of days later, which would have been yesterday, I decide I'm going to do this. I'm going to work on it. So I did everything he said. I got it wet, I'm doing everything, and I start putting it on the wall, and then Brother Tim shows up, and I got like two rows done, or a row and a half done, and we step back, and we're looking at it, and Brother Tim's going, I'm like, what do you think? You know, he's like, yeah. He's like, okay, you know, all right. Here's what it looked like. It looks like whenever your kids take bubble gum and stick it on the back of the Lego and stick it on the wall. That's what I did look like. It was big gaps in there. I'm like, man, I don't know what I'm doing wrong here, you know. And he took them all off, and now it looks good, you know. So here's the point. You don't just need the skill before the project begins. You actually need that skill with you through every step of the project, or the project isn't going to go good. That's what God is saying here as it relates to wisdom. The creative act of God in His act in creation needed wisdom from start and through the process of the work. And we need the wisdom of God too. We need Him at the start, but we also need God's wisdom through every step of the process too. Yeah. But what do? Well, we often today, unfortunately, we try to take care of our projects in our life on our own. We try to take care of these things and do it the best we can. And we don't get the skill that we need from Him to be able to navigate through this. We don't acknowledge it. We're going through a hard time, we're going through a struggle, or we're going through something, a project in life. We're trying to build something. Trying to, you know, build a family, trying to build a career, trying to build a ministry, trying to build the life that God has designed for me to live, and these projects that we see. God has placed us in charge of these projects. And we're trying to build it the best we can. And by the way, it's a noble thing. If you're doing your best, that's a good thing. Our problem is we don't have the skill to do it right. You say, well, Pastor, I feel like I do have the skill. But the problem is that without God and without His wisdom, we don't have the skill. I mean, yeah, we can paste it to the wall and kind of make it through. But Brother Tim informed me. And the reason why we pulled those rocks off the wall that I had stuck on there, they weren't going to stay. They were missing a couple of key ingredients. And eventually it would have dried, they would have stayed for a time, but eventually they would have fallen off. And that's what it's like for us in life when we're trying to navigate through this thing and we're not going to God for His skill. In other words, for His wisdom to guide us through this process, to help us to know each step of the way as a guide, like there with us, showing us how to navigate through this. And He wants to be with us. I heard an amazing quote, and I messaged, and Brother Dave Hardy, who was with us a couple of weeks ago, said this. So I messaged him today, and he was quoting a book. He's read millions of books, probably. But anyway, and he memorizes, it feels like, all of them. But he said this quote, and I heard him say this years ago, and I texted him today. I said, hey, can you remember this? And he's like, oh, you're going to have to be more specific. I'm like, okay, never mind. So I'm just going to do my best to repeat to you what I remember him saying. And it's this, that God is our creator. Okay, and so we don't have any arguments about that. Genesis 1:1, in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth, and we see it again here with wisdom through the process. But when He created us, He created us in His likeness and in His image. And so we're different than the animal kingdom. We're not animals. We're the human race. And we are created in God's likeness. We're not gods, but we are created in His likeness and in His image. And so we reflect God in a sense in those ways. So here's the quote, that when God created us, the Creator, when He created us, we are like God in the sense that we are creators too. Say, what do you mean? Well, we don't take nothing and make something, but we take something and we make something. We're creators. We make things. It reminds me of Hebrews chapter 4, verse 3, or it might be chapter 3, verse 4. Anyway, that God said, every house, remember this verse? Every house is builded by some man, but He that created all things is God. And so, or He that built all things is God. So God is the great builder, the creator, but we build things too. Did you know that that's not a bad thing? It's in our nature. We are builders. Can I say it like this? We're pioneers. I remember in Bible college, they wanted to develop and encourage a sort of pioneering spirit in Bible college students. What is that? Well, that you would have this desire to go to a land or a place, whether it's on the mission field or a place in America where there's not good churches, and start a church from the dirt up. Pioneering spirit, you know, like in those days when they went west, and there's nothing west but danger, you know. That's the pioneer. We have that. It's in us. God has created us, and we're creators, and we build things, and we navigate through things. But often, because of that tendency and natural desire that we have, which is good, we also are loners. We also want to be in control of the things that we feel like we created. We also want to do it on our own. We don't want to try to navigate through this or build this thing with anybody's help. I just want to do it myself, you know. And that's a tendency that we have that can create a problem. Why? Because here's what's going to happen. You're going to be trying to create or build a life or get through a project, a struggle or trial or even a blessing where we're trying to build a family and a ministry, etc. But we're doing it on our own. We're doing it in our strength. Have you ever heard it like this? In the flesh. Well, in the flesh isn't good. It's not a good thing to do things in the flesh. What do we need to do? Walk in the Spirit, not in the flesh. But we often walk in the flesh. We do it in the best we can. And we step back and we look at it and we think, well, that's not too bad. Unless somebody who really knows what they're doing walks up and shows, well, you know, I mean, it's okay, but it's not going to last. Because you did it this, you missed this, this is going to fall off in a couple of years. It's not going to be lasting because you didn't have the skill to do it right. This is what it's like to navigate through life without God's wisdom. We need Him. We need the skill. We need the wisdom of God. We have to have. We must have. So how do we get it? Well, we got to build, pioneer, create in that sense. Get through, you know, create and work through the projects and the struggles and trials and blessings of life. But we need to acknowledge God. We need to walk in His Spirit. We need to go to Him. We need to understand that having the wisdom to know how to do this is to know that we have to have God to do this. Why is it hard? Why? Well, because sometimes God's going to flip the breakers off. And that's the right way to do it. And all the time we're thinking, no, that's not the right way. The breakers have to be on. But we need to defer from our way to God's way if we're going to do it the right way. That's not always the case, but sometimes it is. We need to walk in the Spirit. We need to learn to let God guide us. And that's where the struggle comes from. Often we find that we're going through life and we experience hard times and failures and discouragements and turmoil and stress. And I'm not saying that all of these are 100% pointed back to the same causes, but I can say that sometimes, I can say this with a surety, that sometimes we go through such hard times when we face these things, it's because we've tried to navigate through these things on our own and not by acknowledging and walking in the Spirit, by acknowledging and walking by the wisdom of God. God, what do you want me to do? God, how do you want me to respond to this? So what happens if you do? What happens if you have wisdom with you before the project begins? And what if we decided that we would walk with God's wisdom as we went through these projects? Then where will this lead us? Look at verse 32. Now therefore hearken unto me, O ye children. And then he says it, for blessed are they that keep my ways. So getting God's wisdom before you start, having God's wisdom every step of the way as you go, as according to God, brings God's blessings. It brings the blessings of God. Think about it. If God in His amazing wisdom created everything that you see, think about it. God created all of this. And some of us, we've talked about this, and so I'm kind of treading on ground we've walked on, but church starts at 7. Now it's supposed to, and we don't, but we're supposed to start at 7. Anyway, how did we all show up at 7? Well, we have clocks. Yeah, but how can we tell time? Because the earth is rotating on an axis, literally floating on nothing, and it's in an orbit around the sun. And it's so, watch this, it's so precise that we can tell time to the split second. That's pretty incredible. The fact that we're on a round planet, and one of my sons asked me the other day, Dad, are we upside down right now? I said, I don't know. I think we're kind of on the side, actually. You know, that's the earth. It rotates like this, you know, North Pole, South Pole. I don't really know if we're... That's a good question, though. I think when it's dark, we're upside down. So you're asleep, you don't even know. How can that be? How can we all be straight on, up and down, but on the other side of the planet? Only God can do this. Think about it. This is amazing. Creation, the deeper you go, the more incredible it is. And how did He do it? With the skill of wisdom. The same skill that God is offering to you. And He's holding all this together with wisdom. The same exact wisdom He's saying, I'll help you navigate through life. You know that project you're working on? It's maybe not turning out too good. Get me involved. It's going to become beautiful. We might have to take a couple of things down. But that's okay, right? Because we want to make sure we do it right. Just get God's wisdom involved. Every time what you'll find is God's blessings will come. Yeah. And we can trust Him. We can trust Him. He is our Creator. He knows what He's doing. So what do? Well, we go to Him before we get started. We say, man, Pastor, I got a big thing coming up. I know just what you need to do. You need to go to God before you even get started and say, God, I'm going to need your wisdom. Because I don't know that I know how I'm going to do this. Well, that's good. Get wisdom before you get going. Well, what do you do next? Well, rely on Him once you get into it. Oh, man, this, Lord, the breakers are off. Is this really how you wanted it to be? Then we're just going to keep walking with it. So not just start with wisdom, walk with wisdom. Lord, am I doing what you want? God, did I say what you wanted me to say? God, did I give what you wanted me to give? Did I submit where you wanted me to submit? Did I love how you wanted me to love? Every step of the way. You know what you'll find? Is that God will rebuild the project that we often kind of work on and it's not quite right. God will rebuild it and make it something beautiful, and His blessings will pour into it. I want that for you. And obviously God wants it for you. Let me read one phrase and then we'll be done, okay? I think it's verse 31. Look what it says. Yes. Rejoicing. Let's back up a little bit. Let's go to 30. Then I was by Him as one brought up with Him. And I was daily. Don't you love that word daily? I was daily His delight, rejoicing always before Him. That's what we need. Daily. Always. Not just start with it. Take with it every day. Always. That wasn't what I was going to show you. Verse 31. This is what I want to show you. Rejoicing in the habitable part of His earth. And, I love this, my delights are with the sons of men. That's you and me. So this isn't just something that only belongs to the creative act of God. This is for the sons of men. you and me to have God's wisdom to start with and every step of the way. What do you have? God's blessings. You say, Pastor, I have not been doing good. Well, let's kind of reverse, get to the foundation and start over. Let's get God's wisdom. Lord, what do you want me to do? Would you help me navigate this? Boy, it's amazing how that pressure and stress and, you know, there's things we cannot control. If we're having a physical problem, we can't just like pray and then it's all gone. I mean, miracles do happen and that does happen from time to time. But what we can have in the midst of our trial is peace. In the midst of our trial, we can have the wisdom of God helping us to have the blessings that come from His wisdom, no matter where you are. So I hope tonight you're encouraged and that you'll be willing to seek the Lord as you take care of those projects of life. Amen. Father, tonight we need you. We need your help to know what to do and how to handle these, as we've been saying, projects, these things that we do, that we need to do, whether it's a trial or something like that, or even if it's just a responsibility that we have, like being a dad or being a mom or being a husband or a wife or even just being a friend. And these are great responsibilities. And being a minister, someone who serves and gives and does for others, these are great responsibilities, and so often, dear Father, we don't know how to navigate through these things. And I think that tonight we need your wisdom, and I pray that you'd help us to turn our hearts to you in this way, so that we could have not only courage, but just your steps, even in those times when it to us seems unorthodox, that we would trust you. Help us to follow you, to trust your word, trust your wisdom in Jesus' name. Amen.